الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, because I want you to follow along with me as I read various verses from the Quran, and have a pencil, paper, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be, what is bid'ah? Bid'ah is spelled B-I-D-A-H. Again, that's B-I-D-A-H. Really, from the linguistic standpoint, bid'ah means a newly invented matter. The Sharia definition, meaning the Islamic law definition, is a newly invented way in beliefs and or action in the religion. So those are some basic definitions of bid'ah. Let me give you some examples of bid'ah that some people do. They say that they are Muslim in practice, but these things they have added to their belief system and is not part of Islamic law. Anytime you have, for example, men that beat on children or beat on boys or whatever, they're trying to beat some spirit in them or out of them. This is not from Islam. They beat them until they bleed. Yeah, some people that beat themselves on the back. This is not from Islam. They can show me this, where the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, this is what he did, out of grief or whatever, that he beat himself and whipped himself on his back until he bleed. So you have to show that to me. You have some people that they may even make their prayers with their hands down by their side, and meaning they're not sick or anything like that, having injuries to their body, but they have their hands hanging down to their side. And this, I need explanation. And with the Prophet, peace and blessing upon him, he did that. Also, you have imam or a leader. He may spit into a cup, for example, and then he has a follower drinking, believing that the man has his spit has some holiness to it. So I want to provide for you some proof from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, and from his companions, that these things are wrong and they are what you call bid'ah. And these things are newly invented matters that people have brought into Islam. God, I want you to be confused. You are way advanced right now. And I want you to be confused of what is Islam and what is not Islam. I don't want you to take what is not Islam as Islam. So I want you to understand what I'm saying. Hopefully today's lesson will clear some of those things up for you. Okay, this day, and Allah mentions in one of the verses in Quran, and that's going to be coming from chapter 5, verse 4. Again, that's chapter 5, verse number 4. So hopefully you get a chance to turn to that page and follow along with me, where Allah really just lays it out. If I just read this one particular verse, I can really just stop talking. But I'm going to add other things to it, what the Prophet said, and what his companion said, and of course, what some of the scholars say regarding bid'ah and adding things to the religion or taking things away from the religion. Allah says, This day have those who reject the faith given up all hope of the religion, or your religion. Yet do not fear them, but fear me. This day have I perfected your deen, meaning your religion, for you, completed my favors upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your deen or as your religion. One of his great scholars, Ibn Kathir, he had mentioned regarding this. He said, after this, there no longer remains any need for a new way, nor of a new prophet. But all that is halal has been made halal, meaning all that is permissible has been made permissible. And all that is haram, meaning not permissible, has been made haram. So anything that is permissible has made permissible. It's already been laid out, already been written. Anything that is prohibited has already been written. That is prohibited for us to do. So Islam has no room for anything, anyone to add anything and making what is permissible. And if what we can do, or we cannot do that, we can do. No one has that authority in Islam. Have some faith where people do have that authority, or they take that authority. They don't have any really proof in their books that say it, but they do it. But in the Quran, and the Prophet Muhammad, following the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, Tigla Til Rasul, obey Allah and obey his prophet, has no room for error and no room for any human being. No matter how much Arabic they know, or how much English they know, whatever it is, or how big they are, how big their community is, they have no right to change anything of Islam. After hearing this particular verse, Umar, he wept, he cried. Umar was the second caliph of Islam, the third leader of the Muslims. The Messenger of Allah said to him, "What makes you weep?" He said, "I weep since we used to be in receipt of increase in our deen, our religion. However, if it is completed, then that which is completed can only decrease thereafter. So he said, "You have spoken," he said, "Allah salam and peace bless upon him." He said, "You have spoken truthfully." And so I just want you to kind of ponder on that a little bit. He was crying because of the fact that it's it. No more, nothing else is coming, nothing new. And that you do have some people, not all people, but you have some people that they start doing wrong things. And so the truth kind of disappears from a lot of people. I pray that none of you who are listening to my voice, that if you decide you're going to embrace Islam, that you will not be amongst those people. Be the people that's going to go the opposite way of what Allah tells us to do. I'm going to move on from here. The Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, "Whoever innovates or accommodates an innovator, then upon him is the curse of Allah, his angels, and the whole of mankind." So anyone that adds something to religion, take away something from religion, he says here, or make it easy for people to do that, make excuses for people to do those kind of things. He said that the curse from Allah, his angels, and all of mankind will be upon this individual. So you have to be careful to make sure when a person say something that they have their proof or they have their evidence. And they tell you do something, it's strange. They say, for example, they say to you, they say, "No, you only make 4 prayers a day and not 5 prayers a day. There's something wrong because the Muslim, he or she, they do five prayers a day." They say you don't have to fast during the month of Ramadan. Never, ever. No, they're wrong. Because during the month of Ramadan, either 29 or 30 days, we have to fast. But there are some reasons why we don't fast, some legal reasons why we don't have to fast. But otherwise, we have to fast. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, "Verily, Islam began as a stranger and will return as a stranger. Therefore, give glad tidings to the strangers." It came in strange, and it will leave out strains. And some hadith said tuba, tuba to the strange one, meaning like it's a, there's this beautiful tree that people could go around, take them 100 years just to go around the shade of a tree in paradise. This is one of the beautiful things that a person will receive because of the fact that they obey Allah. Hadith where the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he had mentioned, is that like it's like the deen or the Islam would be like a hold on to a hot coal. It's going to be a challenge for some people to hold on to it because we other have people around us that's going to always try to pull us off. But I hope my students would never be the ones that be pulled off from the rates of Tarot Mustaqim, from the straight path. And so we hold on to that hot coal in our hand, no matter how much it burns our hands. We hold on to Islam. We hold on to the robe of Allah. Hold on to it tightly and don't let it go no matter how much it burns. We hold on to it to the best of our ability. If other people decide to innovate and do bidah and add things to the religion or disobey Allah, you don't follow them. You don't obey them. You want to obey the Prophet Muhammad, Allah, and for it was in the Quran, and also obey the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Now let me answer why. Now innovation or bidah will try to come and change the deen, meaning change the religion, until it gets to a point where holding on to true deen will be strange or unrecognizable. As I mentioned to you before, it's like just holding on to it's going to be hard. And so the reward for the person to hold on to this deen, this religion, is a great reward. And that's why it says here, glad tidings to the stranger. Glad tidings to the stranger. Glad tidings to the stranger. And we all want to be the stranger. There's going to be a time where even among some Muslims, you may be strange. Because you're holding on to what Allah tells you to do. And some may not do that. And so though you are going to follow Allah and the messenger and not so much mankind or womankind. Also, it further confirms the completeness of the message from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He said, I have not left anything which Allah ordered you, except that I have ordered you with it, nor anything that Allah forbade you, except that I forbade it from you. And so he says, again, the completeness we're talking about here is all the deen, this religion is already completed. We don't add anything to it. We don't take any way away from it. He said, anything, he said, I have ordered you to do, I have already ordered you to do that. Anything that I forbid you to do, I already forbade you to do it. And so we have to follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and don't follow those people I mentioned earlier. And don't follow, and you decide to embrace Islam, just be careful, very, very careful that you don't follow the wrong people, and you got to get the true faith of Islam and the true spirit of Islam, and that's a lot to guide you. That's a lot to put the right people around you. I just want to kind of give you a warning. And so people are people. They're going to make mistakes, and they may not even realize what they're doing is a mistake. I mean, like that is wrong. And so, but you know that, and you study Islam. You can go back and listen to many of my tapes. I'm not saying I'm expert, but I have to give you some basic information about Islam. And hopefully those people that you run into, they are doing some of the things that I mentioned or better than that. Now you can turn to chapter 59, verse 7. So go ahead and flip the pages in your Quran. You should have it with you. Chapter 59, verse 7. And Allah says there, and take what the messenger gives you and refrain from what he forbids you. And so again in chapter 59 verse 7, it says, and take what the messenger gives you and refrain from what he forbade you. So that's where our source of direction comes from Allah and his prophet. Those two are the main two sources of Islam. Source number one and source number two are the Sharia, are the Islamic law, the Quran, and the way of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Also, in chapter 33, verse 21 Again, that's chapter 33, verse 21. I hope you get to that page. I know I might be moving a little bit fast, but you can always listen to this particular episode for yourself later on. And I'm saying these things, hopefully you're open-minded. You're open-minded to the truth. That's Muslim and non-Muslim that are listening to me. You want to know the truth, you want to know what Islam is and what it is not. I'm trying my very best to tell you the truth. I know people may even use this episode against the Muslims. I know that. That may happen. But the thing is, I have to tell the truth about what people do and what to avoid. I have to speak the truth. I'm not going to point at any faith and what they do. They add things to their faith and take things away. I'm not going to go there right now. That's not important to me right now. I'm just trying to let you all know what to look for and what not to look for. And you're talking about identifying Islam. Allah says in chapter 33, verse 21, He said, "You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern for anyone," or say sometimes say pattern of conduct, for anyone whose hope is in Allah in the last day. So we have a beautiful pattern of conduct in the Prophet, Hasana. Beautiful one in him, a good one in him. So you want to do anything, want to follow anyone, follow him. What he did, what he said, how he interacted with people, how he treated the family. So you want someone to follow? You follow him. You don't follow any kind of football star or basketball star or singer or anything like that. They're the ones should be following him too. They're the ones should be following the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, because he has the best of character for all of mankind. No matter how long man exists in the world, he is the best pattern of conduct. Also, Imam Malik, who was one of the great scholars of Islam, he said, clinging to the Sunnah, meaning the way or the path of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, is to be saved as like the Ark of Noah. He who embarked was saved, and he who did not was destroyed. So hold on to the Sunnah, hold on to the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. It's like getting on the ark, the big ship, I guess, of Noah. Anyone who got on it, they were saved. Anyone that followed the Sunnah, they were saved. But anyone that did not get on Noah's boat, or anyone that did not follow the Sunnah or the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, then they are doomed and they will be destroyed. It's like if you read the story about Noah and his son, And Noah said, "Come on, son, come on, son is in the water. He's getting ready to get drowned." He says, "Come on, son, get on board. And he basically said to his son, said, "This is his blood relative." He said, no, dad, I'm going to go to the mountain over here. I'm going to be okay." And next thing you know, he was swept away by a big wave. And so he did not get on. It was a Sunnah. He did not follow the Sunnah. He did not get on the ark with his father. And the same thing with the Sunnah way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You want to be a part of the same one, not one that's going to be destroyed. Then you follow his Sunnah and follow his way. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, "I am leaving you two things, and you will never go astray as long as you hold fast to them: the Book of Allah, Kitab Allah, and my Sunnah." And so he's saying he left these two things, and we will not go astray. We cannot go wrong. And that is the Book of Allah, which is the Quran, that many of you should have for this class, and also the Sunnah, or the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and what he said and what he did, and being this great leader that he was in the world to all of mankind. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, "The best speech is the Book of Allah, and the best guidance and example is that of Muhammad, and the worst of all things are newly invented things, and every innovation is error and misguidance." So again, he's warning us. You want best speech? The Book of Allah, Kitab Allah. You want the best guidance? A best example, go get that from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. And the worst of all things are when you add something, bid'ah, when you innovate things or add something, take something away from this deen, from the religion of ours. No one's allowed to do that, as I have been emphasizing throughout this talk. No one. And it says, innovation is error and misguidance. Now, let me offer some warnings to my students. regarding adding things to our religion. No one is allowed to do so. I don't care who the person is. And reported by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his wife, she said that he said, whoever introduces into this affair of ours something that we have not commanded, it is to be rejected. So I want you students, remember this, that anyone that adds something, once you learn something, you learn it from my episodes or you learn it when you come into Islam, is that once you learn these things and someone adds something to it or take something away from it, then you reject that. You reject that from them. They need to show some proof. Not what someone saw and said or anything like that, or follow the crowd. Or you were in the follow the crowd to the hellfire and you don't want to be part of that crowd. If 1,000 people stand before Allah and you are the only one that's just and doing what you're supposed to do, that means 999 of them may be going to hellfire and you may be the only one going to paradise because you held on to the book of Allah and the speech of Allah, and you're not adding anything to the book of Allah and the speech of Allah or anything to what the Prophet Muhammad said, and you rejected those things that people try to add to this affair of ours, this deen of ours, this religion of ours. One scholar said, he said, every act of worship that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, do not do them. I mean, it's pretty simple. If his companions and he did not do it, we don't do it. It's simple. It's easy to do and easy to follow. Also, one of the companions of the Prophet, Ibn Mas'ud, he said, making ittiba, meaning imitate and follow, and do not do bid'ah, for what you have been commanded is enough for you. So in other words, we do those things that Rasulullah told us to do, the Prophet Muhammad, blessed be upon him, told us to do, and we do not do those things, this is enough for us. We do not do those things that are bidder or add anything to the religion or take anything out of religion. We're not allowed to do that, and so we don't do it as Muslims. And if you decide to embrace Islam, you do the same thing. Islam have those safeguards, telling people, instructing people, look, this deen, this is religion already been completed. You don't come in here thinking you're gonna add something to it, or let me make it a little bit better. No, you're not. No, that's not Islam. You come in to follow the Prophet Muhammad and obey Allah. Also, Ibn Umar, he said, this is what the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, every innovation and misguidance, even if the people regarded it as being good. So we have to be careful of that. People say, oh, it's a good thing to do. This is how you get close to Allah, through thus and thus and thus. And like I mentioned some of the things earlier, I'm not going to repeat those things again. I don't really like saying them. As I said earlier before in this episode, is that people may think that it's good. But the thing is, like I said here, every innovation, every bid'ah, is misguidance, even if the people regard it as to being something good. Also, one of the scholars, he said, no people introduce innovation into their religion except that an equivalent of sunnah is taken away from it. Because there's no room in the heart or in our way of life. And Islam is a way of life. No place is there room for bid'ah and sunnah. Because if we push bid'ah into our way of life, our deen, our religion, it pushes out the sunnah, the Quran and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him. So we keep that away, keep that out of our hearts. It's like dirtying up our hearts. We fill up with dirt, then it pushes out all the good and the clean from our heart. But we just keep our heart pure and block from the dirt. It always stays pure and block from the dirt. Imam Malik, again, he said, this is a great scholar that I mentioned before, whatever was not deen or religion at the time of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, cannot be considered to be part of the deen today. If it was the deen there, if the religion during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, it was deen, it cannot be, and it cannot be deen now. Again, whatever was not deemed at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, cannot be considered to be a part of deen today. It wasn't part of his deen. He did not do it then. Then we don't do it now. We don't add anything to unto that. And when you study more and more, and even you keep listening to these episodes, I'm going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into, inshallah, that's my goal, and God willing, deeper and deeper into this faith. And I want you to really understand what Islam is all about. And again, I know that people may use the episode for evil. I understand that part, but that's up to them to do that. That's all up to them. I'm just trying to tell you the facts and nothing but the facts. But there's hope for the ones who innovate. The Prophet Muhammad, he said, the one who repents from sin is like the one who did not sin. So a person innovates and adds something to religion, okay, then they can repent. Allah is forgiven. If a person have sins as high as a mountain high, Allah will forgive all of it. He can, if they go to him with sincerity and stop doing it, have sorrow, have some remorse. But there's like some criteria for a person when they repent. If it's like the foam of the ocean, the sins that they do, and they repent, Allah forgive them. He forgives everything but shirk. Shirk is associating partners with Allah, making things equal to Allah. He doesn't forgive that. But everything else, Allah's forgiven. I also want to mention to you is that, and this probably be my last one. I want to say one more time, and that is, the one who repents from sin is like the one who did not sin. And so there is hope for those of us who have sinned, those of us who are sinners, those of us who are innovators and add things to religion. There's still hope for you. We don't just throw you out like that. No, it doesn't work like that. It's just that you have criteria if you want Allah to forgive you and seek tawbah from Allah. We have an verse in the Quran that is titled is tawbah. And it talks about the basically seeking forgiveness from Allah. And you can look it up for yourself about repenting and repenting to Allah for any evil or bad that you have done. So please, my students, hopefully you understand what some basic information. It's basic. It's not too deep. You got books and books and books about bid'ah. I'm just giving you some basic information, general information about bid'ah, about innovation, about adding something to the faith or taking something out of the faith, some action into the faith or some action from the faith. And so I'm just letting you know and be aware that there are some folks that this is what they do, and I want you to be careful coming into our faith, that you don't get caught up in it, and that you only do what Allah says and what the Prophet said. The Prophet, again, he left two things, and follow two things, you can't go wrong, and that's Quran, Kitabullah, and also a kalamullah, the voice or the speech of Allah, and also the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, his way, what he did and what he did not do, his way. And what he did then, it can't be sunnah, it can't be part of his sunnah now. And like those things that I mentioned, but I'm not going to repeat them. I just hope that you all got the message. I suggest you can always listen to this episode and other episode, and just keep up with your study of Islam and your understanding of Islam. And you want to know more information about Islam, that is no problem. You want to find out more information or knowledge about Islam, you can always go to whyislam.org, and there's tons of information about Islam. If you want to study some more about Islam, you go to the International Online University. And also you go to American Open University, and they will give you more information about this beautiful faith. You have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.